We just come to your word, Lord. Ask you, Lord, to open our minds and our hearts that we may be able, Lord, to hear you, to receive it, Lord, and put it to work in us. We just know, Lord, that it's your word that gives us the ability to overcome, the ability to have victory in our lives, the ability, Lord, to be able to know, Lord, you in a deeper way, Lord. So we just praise and thank you today, Lord, as we're going to receive from you strength, healing, power, and everything we need for life and godliness. Amen. Okay, so we've been talking about spirit, soul, and body. We started that. This week I was looking through some, I have lots of theological books, and I was surprised how many theologians do not believe that we are made of three parts. That they mix or put together the soul and the spirit as one thing. And I just can't understand why they can't read the Bible. All right? I mean, the distinction, you even see, you know, the lexicons, even the strong concordance, and you see the meaning of the word that are used for soul and spirit, and really, even there is confusion. I think the Bible is so clear about that. And the implications are so important for us to understand. And the scriptures are so evident that really want us to be biased not to accept that. Now, last week I was, as I started, and somebody said that it's complicated. So one of the things I wanted to do is to actually to, and ask me to do some kind of diagram. But you know, no matter what diagrams you make, it's very difficult to represent these things graphically, because we are talking about different dimensions. When you talk about the spirit, you are talking about something that is real in the spiritual dimension. When you talk about the bodies, you're talking about something that's real in the physical dimension. When you talk about the soul, you talk something that is in between the two, and that there is not really any physical dimension associated with it. See what I'm saying here? You see, no matter what I'm showing you is an oversimplification. It's not really a way of representing things, but it's not really the thing. Okay? But the fact is, you know, we have to remember that we are talking about a spiritual dimension that is there, in which the spirit lives, in which God lives, where other spirit angels move in that dimension. Okay? And so this is one side of the story. The other side is our body that is actually right here with everything else in the physical. That you can, if you want to take notes, you can, or I can give it to you later, you know, that we are going to refer to often. See, the spirit is in the spiritual dimension. And as three parts, they're really important. It's the communion with in the spirit with God, communion with other things. It's the intuition, which is where you get the revelation from God about things. And finally, the conscience, with the function that allows you to distinguish between right and wrong. All those things are in your spirit. Now, in your body, you know, it's in the physical dimension, there are organs. You know, all our part, all our physical body, our organs make us operate around here and live around here. So, plus there are the physical senses. The physical senses are some of the organs that enables us to connect with the world around us. So we have the sight, touch, smell, taste, and hearing. But there is not only that. We have an electromagnetic field around ourselves that stands much beyond our physical body. You know, that you can actually detect it with detectors up to 8 or more feet far away from you. And we always, and plus we always emit radiations. Radiation of infrared radiation that can actually be detected. Not only radiation, but also electromagnetic radiations. And they are connected with the functioning of our heart. We are electrical beings. That's the way our body works. See, through electrical pulses, through our nervous system, that we can move around, that we can do things, in through electrical pulses through our head, that, you know, we can remember and we can, you know, part of our brain get activated. But the thing is, you know, all this is not us. This is the physical part of us. What we really are is our soul. We are that. And that is the part in which our identity is determined. Where we know that we are aware of being us, of being ourselves. Okay? And so this is between the two dimensions, and it connects with the spirit through the spirit world, through our spirit, and connects through the world around us, through our body and through our senses. Okay? But that's where all the things are picked up and put together. Okay? So, and it's again made up of three parts. The intellect of the mind, what you think, reasoning, and the emotions that are within yourself. And finally, there is a component that has to do with the will that is actually the most important part of our soul. Because our will determines what our body is going to do. And so that's the part that is the key element within us. Because through our will, we respond to the spirit or we respond to the physical feelings that we have around us. In the Garden of Eden, and I'm now, you know, not even, we're going to go to scripture, I'm going to show you all the reason why I'm saying these things. But in the Garden of Eden, man's union with God was such that a communion with him, because his soul chose to be connected to God, see, through free will. When man fell, automatically separated himself from God, and then the soul chooses, after that, the fallen man chooses to follow the physical senses. And because of that, you know, the things, the decisions that are more motivated, the things that are after, are the physical things rather than the spiritual things. Now, if you remember what it says, that who is... In Romans chapter 8 talks about, you know, with spiritual and with physical, you know, what your mind is after. Okay, we're going to see, okay. Now, I don't know how can people say that we are only made of two parts, because we aren't. The Bible is so many, there are so many, the words used are completely different, but even in the interpretation of the words, they may give the same meaning, which doesn't make any sense. Okay, so let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. What God has done and what God has prepared for us cannot be understood or received through our logic, because it's beyond our logic. It's beyond our experience. If we haven't experienced something, how can we know it? Now, the way we know it is through the Word of God. We know it through the Word of God, because the Word of God was received not by physical experience, but by revelation, which actually is through the Spirit of God communicating to our soul and giving revelation to some of the prophets or the people that wrote the Bible, so that the information that is spiritual is being revealed to us through the Word. So the Word is the way we are connected with and understand spiritual things. Okay, this is what makes a difference with us. We cannot get information from the physical senses about the spirit world. But sometimes we can receive information because the Holy Spirit working in us will bring us that understanding. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, actually later on, okay, it says it started with this, eyes have not seen, verse 9, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So this is the things that God is revealing to us. God has prepared things for us that are beyond our experience, that are beyond our ability to know them, and are given to us. Okay, and the way they are given to us, we start always with our understanding. Because if we do not understand them, we cannot appropriate. If you don't know that God wants to heal you, how can you get healed? Okay. If you don't know that God wants to save you, how can you get saved? So really, the communication, the information that we need to have has to be the basis for us to be able to move into that, into those things. To be able to understand the spirit world, we have to get information about the spirit world because our mind works that way. Okay, we need to understand. That's the way we operate. Verse 11, for what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? He's talking about the spirit of man, so why do you? It's pretty clear. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit from God, that we may know the things which are freely given to us by God. See, and they are given to us through the Holy Spirit in us. And we are going to see that more in detail. But for now, I'm just preparing the ground. Okay. It says in verse 14, it says, for the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You see, he's talking about here, this natural man is, in the word here in Greek, is psychikos, which is in psyche, that actually means soul. So the soulish man cannot, in your mind, you cannot understand the things of God, because they are spiritually discerned. So your logic, your ability to figure out things, your analysis of things is not going to enable you to get the understanding about spiritual things, even if you read the Bible. And I want to stress that, because you can read the Bible just with your mind, logically, do computer analysis of it, like people do. They're not going to ever get spiritual things because they have to be spiritually discerned. You see, you can read the scripture 100 million times and get nothing from it. But one day, when you connect with the Spirit, suddenly you see it, you know it, and you don't know why. Why is that the case? It's because the Spirit, you have made that connection that reveals that truth to you that comes directly from your spirit, that you received it from the Holy Spirit. Are you following me? See, that makes all the difference. That's why there are many, I believe there are many theologians that are not even saved. They know the Bible probably better than I am. But I'm saved. And I can see things that they cannot see. And I can read their books. And I can shake my head for the conclusion that they come to. Because they don't have the revelation. They have just knowledge. You see, it's revelation knowledge that is received by our spirit. And our spirit to receive revelation needs to be born again. You know, later on says, who has known the mind of the Lord, they may instruct him. Verse 16, but we have the mind of Christ. I mean, this is because, you know, not that we have the mind, you know, our mind of Christ comes when we, Christ means the anointing. Christ is the anointing. So we have the mind that the anointing of God, the revelation of God, the communication of God has touched and has revealed to us these things. Okay? Now, this is important to understand because we can do Bible study and remain in the flesh. It's not Bible study that works in certain things. They just give us information. We have to go beyond our logic. We have to connect with God to find out the truth. This is why, you know, you can quote scripture and they don't mean anything to you. But one day, they mean something because your heart has been touched and you are able to receive the truth. That's why you can claim healing and it doesn't happen until you are touched and that day you got it. We talked about 1 Thessalonians 5:23, may the God of peace sanctify you wholly, completely, that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who called is faithful, and he will also do it. This is a promise. I mean, that's a pretty clear definition. And you can't go and ignore these three elements that are there. And there are so many other places in the Bible that makes a distinction between soul and spirit. And so we have to understand. To be able to understand the word, we have to understand this. We have to learn. How can you walk in the spirit if you don't know the difference between your soul and the spirit? What you're going to do is walk in the soul and you think you're walking in the spirit. When instead, when you walk in the soul, you're walking in the flesh. Because the soul gets the information from the world around you, from your body. Unless gets information from your spirit, and then it's a different thing. Then it's that's why you get the mind of Christ. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit inside you that communicates the truth. There has to be understanding, otherwise your mind is useless. You need understanding. Proverbs says very clearly, above everything, seek understanding. Okay, but understand, you don't get understanding just by doing a Bible study. You get information. You know something. You see, the knowing, the biblical knowing is gnosko, which actually means experiential knowing. It's like when you know your husband or your wife because you got married. I mean, before you can know them at a distance, but then you know them more. The thing I wanted to add to what I didn't read this last time, but it's important, is in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. When God put this before men, he says, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you, that you have set before you life and death, blessing and curses, therefore choose life, that both you and your descendant may live. Now, you know, the choosing part, as I saw you saw before, is where our soul comes into the picture. You see, our feeling, our emotions, our logical mind, and our will, our choices, come from our soul. And our soul has the freedom to choose what it wants to do. As the freedom to choose... to follow his senses and the physical things and wanting those things, or choosing spiritual things and connecting with God and doing what God wants and making God the Lord. You see, our soul determines who is the Lord in our life. If we desire more the physical things, whatever they are, then our soul has abandoned God because put another God in his place. That was not so at the beginning. At the beginning, Adam was completely connected with God, and all the physical behavior that he had was determined by what was going on inside his spirit. His spirit had the predominance in his life because God was the Lord. When man fell, then, see, God was not anymore the Lord. The things that he wanted, in that case, the fruit, whatever it was, ability to know the good and evil, and all these other things that were good to eat, and everything, you know, all those things became the things that he wanted instead of God. And he chose those things, even if he knew they was going against the will of God. So the idea is at that moment, he got separated from God and he spiritually died. There was not anymore that connection in the spirit. And we are suffering today for that decision. Because Adam's body before he sinned would not see corruption, will live forever. Our body, even if you are saved, even if you are born again, is going to corrupt with times, and we are going to die unless the Lord comes back before. But you know, our death, fortunately, we know is only of this physical body that we have now. God wants to reestablish the original situation that we were in, reestablish what we were like before. And Jesus made that possible, and Jesus showed it, actually, to us, even in this world. Because he died physically the way we were going to die, but he was also resurrected, and his resurrection life is the way that we are going to have afterwards. You see, the way we are going to be after our resurrection is not anymore with this mortal body, but is with the resurrected body. And he's not going to die anymore. And he's going to be doing the same thing that Jesus did when he was resurrected. That means he's not limited anymore to the physical reality that we are in. That doesn't mean they cannot move in us. So, Jesus came to compensate for the mistake that Adam did. But he did it only, see, for in our inability to follow God's laws. Because we really can't. I mean, the Old Testament is the proof that we cannot really, you see, we are so bound by our physical senses. And so, lost in the world that we are in, that we cannot do the things that God wants us to do, and made possible the Deuteronomy that I was reading you before. It says, you know, if you do all these things that I command you, you're going to be blessed and you're going to have life. And you go, well, evidently they couldn't. And so initially what they had to do, they said, go through some activities that were actually announcing what was going to happen after. And we're giving the basis to them, but now it's completely different. Now we can connect with God because of what Jesus did. And we can put our trust in him to be able to do the things that God called us to do. And when we connect with Jesus, then our feeling, our emotions, our things are going to be completely different. This is what happens when we are born again. This is a kind of an introduction. We are going to actually see scriptures. But we had to come into the knowledge of the things of the Spirit to be able to walk in the Spirit. Otherwise, we are so far dependent on our physical senses for our understanding and our knowledge that we'll never be able to do the things that God wants us to do. We had to be able to go beyond that. Born again is just the beginning of coming into a kingdom that is a spiritual kingdom that is not this physical kingdom. But you know, the knowledge that we had to get is not the physical knowledge. It has to be the knowledge about the kingdom. That's what Jesus came to preach about. He preached about the kingdom. See, in Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord, our God. But those things are revealed, belong to us and our children forever, that we may do what the word of the Lord, what all the works of the law. You see, that's the thing. To be able to do what God calls us to do, we had to have revealed to us the truth. Revealed to us what God says. Are you following me? This may be a bit confusing now, because I'm not going to the detail, because you have to go into the detail really to understand it. Okay, but that's the beginning. It's only the beginning. Okay, the Word of God is able, you see, because it's been revealed to us, to the people that wrote it, as the content that we need to understand spiritual things. But we have not just to read it, we have to have it revealed. We have to have the same revelation that they had when they wrote it. Because they has to be spiritually discerned, what I said before. So, our final state that God wants to move us in. Born again is the beginning. Spirit-filled is just the next step. But it's not. There's an ongoing process after we are born again and we are spirit-filled that we are transformed. And that transformation is the renewing of our soul. Now, the part of our soul that need to be renewed is our mind, okay? But it's really, you know, what is happening really is the salvation of our soul. See, that's what is saved. The very moment when you are born again, your spirit is reconnected with God. They cannot change from that point of view. You got everything you needed to get. But you haven't got everything in your mind. You are still messed up. You don't know where you're going. You have lots of funny ideas that you inherited from the world. And there are these things that need to be revealed to you so that you can actually move into this new kingdom that's open to you. It was prepared for you. That God wants you to be in it. But you know, the only way for you to be in it, you see, your soul, your understanding, everything that has to be changed. The way you think has to be changed. See how easy is, for example, when there is a pain in our body, to think, oh, I'm sick. Everybody struggles with that. Well, what do we believe? Why? What is the struggle? It's a struggle between the flesh and the spirit, or the body and the spirit. That struggle Adam did not have before the fall. He had peace about it. He had no problem believing God for anything. We had trouble believing, and our degree of ability in believing, that means the faith that we have, grows with our spiritual growth, as our spirit grows in strength. Then we are able to appropriate things and our faith grows with it. You see, our spirit has a life. And the life of our spirit comes from God. But the life needs to grow inside us so that our spirit is stronger than our body. We have to develop, feed our spirit the same way as we feed our body. We feed our spirit through the word. And you know, it's not, we are not feeding our mind. You can feed your mind through the word. You can feed your mind studying and reading and learning things. You feed your mind. But there is no spiritual strength in it. You feed your spirit when you understand how you feed your spirit through the word of God. Because the word of God, Jesus said, you know, my word, they are spirit and they are life. So there is a completely different thing. It's not learning something. It's feeding your spirit. That's what Jesus said. You know, man does not live of, you know, bread alone, but of every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So there is that feeding that has to take place, that most people don't even know how to do it. And that is done by meditation. Many people do not even understand what meditation is. They think that meditation is something New Age. New Age stole it from Christianity. Meditation is the way you feed your spirit. It's the only way that you can feed your spirit. And when I talk about meditation, there are so many different manifestations of meditation. And that's what makes it difficult for people to understand. If you read, for example, the words that are used to translate things that had to do with meditation, there are many different words in Greek and in Hebrew that all refer to meditation. And is that really the feeling of your spirit? See, if your spirit is anemic, because you have not been meditating, because you have not been feeding it, and your body is strong, or your mind is strong, who do you think is taking control of your life? So you need to strengthen your spirit to be able to achieve the things that God wants to do, because the final end of the story is that we are not going to have anymore a physical body, we are going to have a spiritual body. Hallelujah. Doesn't get sick, doesn't die, doesn't get pain. It's the spirit that can walk through walls and can get inside rooms without opening the doors and can move, you know, can transport himself from here to there without taking the plane. I like that. All right. Doesn't get old. Now, because of what Jesus has done, he has shown us that sometimes we can break some of the physical laws. Healing is just the breaking of the physical laws by the power that is a spiritual power that is transferred from our spirit through our soul and through our body, so that our body is changed or our soul is changed spiritually. But the power of the spirit is so much greater than the physical power, no matter if you are Schwarzenegger or anybody else. Doesn't make any difference. The power of the Spirit is a creative power that the physical strength cannot do. And it's available to us. Hallelujah. Amen. We can learn to operate, when we learn to work in the Spirit, we can learn to operate in such a way that we can make a release of the power into the physical world and things happen. The same way as it happened when Jesus was going around, because he said it clearly. You know, the things that I do, you shall do also, and greater things than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. So you see, and this is just a foretaste of what he was able to do after, or what we will be able to do after. It's so exciting to realize what God has made available to us, the things that are revealed to us, the thing I was reading before, you know, that God has prepared for those who love him. You see, the love him is the critical part, because that if you love him, he's your Lord. He's not a, I love the Lord, you know, and go after the world things. No, God is your Lord. And those that God is your Lord, they're going to manifest the things that he has prepared for him. Hallelujah. I think this is going to be an exciting topic. I mean, just touching hardly the surface here. We're going to see the practical implication. After we finish this, you're going to spend lots of time meditating, because you want to feed your spirit. My next book, I wrote already, maybe a part of it, is on meditation. On meditation and confession. I mean, that's so important. This is where our power is released. And our ability to succeed and to do the things that God wants us to do. You know, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. The prospering of our soul comes out because our soul is starting to depend on our spirit instead of depending on our body, on our senses. And publish it as a little booklet. It's not going to be too short anyway, but it's going to be, you know, so that you can. Praise the Lord. All right, we close for today. You get anything? Yes. Is the Lord good? Yes. All the time. How many were healed today? You were healed? No pain? Oh, okay. Oh, the cat. Okay, just take it. Take it. Anybody else that actually see the difference? See a difference? Anybody else? All right. Praise the Lord. That's what we should expect. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together to receive. Thank you, Lord, that we know that you are here with us, and you never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, help us to be free from ideas that hinder us, religious ideas and bondages, Lord, that keep us nowhere. But help us to come into the kingdom, in your kingdom, Lord, even today, that you know, we know, Lord, that you have prepared great things for us, and Lord, we want to see them coming to pass, Lord. The time is now, and we just give you all the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.